You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. I'm stirred up tonight. Y'all stirred up? Amen. Amen. Stirred up. All right. Well, I'm going to teach you for just a little while. I'll try not to keep you too long this evening. This sermon could go really, really long, or it could go really, really short. I don't know if there's a real in-between, but I want to hit some points here. And this is, you know, I have some points. I have some, I guess maybe categories or steps, we'll say. I don't know. I'm not really a step person or point person, I guess. I mean, I have, you know, there are steps to, you know, doing certain things, and so that works. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the will of God for your life. You know, just, you know, the plans that God has for your life. You know, and to do though, to understand what God's will is for you, you have to understand a few things. There's a few processes that you have to go through to get to the point of understanding God's will for your life. And you know, this trip that I went on to Nebraska, I probably refer to that several times because it's fresh in my mind. You know, I've been in Nebraska for 5 days, hunting the great whitetail of Nebraska. And there are some great whitetail in Nebraska, I will say that. I had a lot of fun, you know, enjoyed it. I was in the woods most of the time. You know, it was get up at 5 in the morning, you know, hop in the shower, jump in your hunting clothes, go to the woods. And there was a lot of hiking. There was, you know, it's 20,000 acres that we hunted on. We hunted on several places, and I had a lot of time to, you know, just me and God. You know, I really did. I had a lot of time. I sat down one time. I tell you what, just enjoying the beauty of the countryside, the land that God has given us. I mean, just I sat there one time and watched 15 deer come through. You know, 4 or 5 bucks and a bunch of does and babies. And I'm sitting on this river, and I mean, I'm sitting on the edge of this river, and I'm looking down, and the river bends and goes this way, and the deer are coming down, drinking out of the water of the river, you know, and playing in the water, and I'm just soaking up the goodness of God. It was beautiful. And I sat there, and I just prayed in tongues, and I worshiped God. Had a great time. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. And in that trip, Steve and I, we talked about a lot of things. You know, I went with Steve and Ricky, and I was glad that he invited me to go. Yeah, because I was blessed for having going with him. You know, we had good fellowship. His brother came over from Iowa, who's come down here and hunted with us a few times. He's a big time hunter, but he's Christian. You know, he's Sam Smith's son, Vic, and Steve, and we all went up there. Me and Steve and Ricky and then Vic. Man, we had good fellowship. We had good times. We prayed over every meal. We got in, you know, in the middle of a. They've only got like this little town's really little town, and so like, you know, we had one place to eat breakfast and that was about it. So every morning we ate the same place for breakfast, and then at night we had the choice of about 3 places, really 2 maybe, but so we had a lot of the same food, you know, every day. And so by the end of the week we walk in, they know what we want to order because, you know, I want the special, I want, you know, substitute the eggs for a French toast, slice of French toast, no gravy, you know, with an apple juice, you know. And by the end of the week, you know, that they know exactly what we want, you know, we walk in. But man, we prayed over every meal. I mean, and it wasn't just me. Steve prayed over, man, he jumped in there, he prayed over. Vic prayed over a meal. You know, every time, it didn't matter. The racers would come by trying to talk to us. You know, we're praying, you know. So, I mean, we just had a good time. And on that trip, Steve and I talked about a lot of stuff. He, you know, said, hey, Vanjie called and said, Chris, you know, you're preaching Sunday? He says, Vanjie called and says they announced Wednesday. He said, you know, Sunday they announced it. I said, you know you're preaching Wednesday? I said, well, you know, Mom or Dad mentioned something that I might be, but I wasn't ever sure, for sure. And so... he goes, well, you're preaching Wednesday. I hope we get back in time, you know. And he's kidding. So then from then on, it was every time we had a little experience in the woods or here, he goes, you think you might use some of this in your message on Wednesday? Have you got a message yet? You know, and so I've got lots of experiences that took place and doesn't really have anything to do with my message. So Steve will be disappointed, except that. We talked about this. We talked about plans and the will of God in our life and how God has blessed us, you know, and brought us to the point where we are. And you know, he thought himself that he, you know, maybe he would go into the ministry like his dad. But, you know, God blessed him with a great business mind, you know, and he has a great, good business, and he supports the ministry, you know, and it takes all kinds. It takes everybody doing their part to make the ministry work. And he asked me what my plans and goals were. And I said, right now I just have a lot of peace about, you know, hanging out right here at International Outreach and helping Dad. I can edit some of this out of the tape if I need to. Chris, make sure and dub this out. I don't really ever see me taking over the church. I really think Dad will probably minister as long as he can minister. By that time, I'll be almost as old as he is. Because, you know, he's not that much older than I am. And so, you know, what, 18 years, 19 years, 18 years older than I am. So, you know, by the time he's ready to retire, I don't want to take it over. You know, I'll be retiring with him. We'll be going to Nebraska hunting deer. You know, it'd be me and him going up there. And you know, maybe we'll pass it on to one of my sons or Amanda's sons or, you know, one of the son-in-laws or somebody, you know. She's going to have a son. She will. Don't worry. Yeah, but anyway, you know, but right now I told him, I said, you know, I just don't have peace about leaving. Right now I feel this is where I need to be. And you know, I'm a help right now to my dad. And so we talked about plans and goals and the will of God in your life. And you know, it's just neat. It was good. We had a good trip. So, and I did shoot a deer while I was down there. We were archery hunting. It was quite difficult. But, you know, I, the one Texan to go to a Nebraska shot, the only deer that was shot down there by a Texan. So, anyway, moving right along. Matthew 18. The first step to knowing God's will for you is that you need to know that God wants you to know what His will is for you. I mean, so many people say, well, you know, who knows what God wants me, you know, wants for my life. You know, what path has He chosen for me? You know, who knows? Boy, I tell you, He's so mystical. The mind of God is so vast. And wow, you know, who can know the mind of God? You know, not I. I'm but a feeble, you know, human person down here. You know, no, you're a child of God, and He's our Father. And my dad didn't grow up trying to keep all his knowledge from me. You know, I mean, did anybody do that with their kids? Did you grow up saying, you know, I'm only going to teach a little bit just to survive? You know, yeah. I mean, woo! Not going to teach you how to read and write and all that stuff. I'm going to teach you how to talk, but not very well. You know. You know, no, parents, you know, fathers, mothers didn't do that with their kids. Our Father God, when we became Christians, He became our caretaker and our raiser. You know, He's raising us here, and He's going to teach us everything that He can to help us grow, to help us be successful, and to make it in life. Not just make it, but make it abundantly and be blessed and be a blessing to other people. And so, you know, He wants you to know His will. I mean, He wants you to know what He has in store for you. He doesn't want you confused. He's not the author of confusion. You know, and when you don't know the right way to go, if you're confused about this path or that path, that's not God. Okay? That's you trying to figure it all out up here and not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, not listening to the voice of God saying, hey, this is where you need to go, or this is where you need to go. You know, and it's not necessarily an open voice or, you know, an audible voice. You know, I don't hear every time I think about what, you know, my goals and plans are in life. It's not the voice of God saying, you're going to stay with your dad right where you are. You know, it's not that. You know, yeah. I told Steve this. I said, I don't have peace about leaving. I don't have peace about going somewhere else right now. And that's to me, the voice to me. That's the voice of God to me. You know, I don't have peace about, I don't, you know, if I were to try, I'll tell you right now, if I started thinking about, well, you know, I could go here, boy, I mean, I get just, oh, man, I kind of get sick of my stomach thinking about that. You know, just a check, boy, the Holy Spirit said, whoa, no, uh-uh. No, that's not, that can't fly. It's not going to work. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of times, and probably most of the time, it's not going to be an audible voice saying, this is what I want you to do. Now, there are times that happens. Lester Summerall, when he was dying, in a hospital on his deathbed, basically, he had a vision, and there was a casket, and there was a Bible. And God says, you know, you choose this right here, you'll live, and you'll minister the gospel all over the world. He says, but if you don't, that's what's fixing to happen. You're going to die. And he said, you know, I chose the, you know, preach the word of God. And he was pretty hard about it the first, you know, few times he got up to minister. He wasn't a real good minister person when he got up. He got to preach. He says, I'm here because God told me to be here. I don't care about you. I care about living. You know, at first, that's the way he was. Now, he got a little better over the years. But he taught the Word of God. He taught the Word of God. I mean, and he didn't back down. It was God's Word. It was his way, God's way, or the highway. And Lester knew that. I mean, Brother Sumrall, he was awesome teacher of the Word of God. Had lots of faith, you know. And so, you know, in situations like that, there is an audible voice. But, you know, God wants you to know his will. And in Matthew 18, let's just look here. Sorry, slide this back here. In I told you to go to the wrong spot. But let's start here. It says then in verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and find out where this other sheep is? And when he finds a sheep, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, verse 13, finds a sheep, he gets excited, he rejoices that this one sheep has been found. More about this one sheep being found than the 99 that weren't ever lost. You know, he's excited about this one because he's found this one. Boy, it almost perished. It almost got lost. He gets excited. And in verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants you, first of all, he wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to make it in life. It's his will. Right here it says, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And it's just a parable or example of us. You know, we've got all these sheep out here. And if one of us has gone astray, or one of us has been found, we'll say, come into the kingdom of God. There's much rejoicing over that. It's not God's will that anybody should perish. In fact, he wishes that none should perish, but that, you know, we all would receive eternal life. I mean, John 3:16, he gave his only son that whoever believed in him would not perish. You know, he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he tells us which ones to choose. We don't always choose the right one, but he wishes, his plan was that everybody make it. His plan was that everybody go to heaven. His will was that none of us should perish. Okay, so we can know that that was his will. Let's turn over to Ephesians real quick, 5. Ephesians 5. How many of you know it's God's will that you make it, that you live with him for eternity in heaven? In chapter 5 of Ephesians, let's start in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise. Okay, let's stop there for just a second. I mean, the main point is the next phrase there, but be not unwise, meaning that we can be unwise if we choose to do that, but he doesn't want you to be unwise. He wants you to be wise. Okay, now, if God tells you to be not unwise, in other words, he's telling you to be wise. Be smart about this. If God tells you to be smart about this, does that mean you can be smart about that? Or is that just a, you know, dream, you know, that you might could have? You know, maybe I could be smart about this. You know, I think if God tells you to do something, that it's attainable. That it's something that you can have. It's something that you can do. So if he says, be not unwise, then be not unwise. And you can do it. It says, be not unwise, but understanding. Not being confused, not being unsure, not being wishy-washy. I really don't know. You know, I just kind of don't know here. You know, what's God's will for my life? I don't know. But it says, no, be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be understanding what the will. Everybody say this. I can understand what the will of the Lord is for my life. That's right. We can do that. I can understand what God's will is for my life. And he tells us right here, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, you know, and in Isaiah 55, it talks, you know, people always use that out of context. And Dad's kicked over the sacred cow of you know, the meaning of my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. And, you know, he wasn't even talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to believers. In fact, let's turn there real quick. We'll have a little Bible drill tonight. Isaiah 55. May turn to a few scriptures, but it's good stuff. Everybody say it's good stuff. The Word of God is good stuff. Let's start in verse 7 of Isaiah 55. It says, let the wicked, everybody say the wicked,
wicked,
forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Everybody say the unrighteous.
Unrighteous.
Okay. Now we're talking to the wicked, and we're talking to the unrighteous. Okay? God's not schizophrenic. Okay? And let him, who? Him who? The wicked and the unrighteous. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. All right. Pardon who? Wicked and the unrighteous. Very good. Because my thoughts, whose thoughts? God's. God's thoughts are not your thoughts, you wicked and unrighteous man. I mean, I know this is plain and simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded here. Neither are your ways, wicked and unrighteous man, my ways, says the Lord. All right. For as the heavens are higher, blah, 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 it goes on, and it talks about all this. And you can know the will of God. You can. He wants you to know His thoughts. And He says, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. And He says, He basically says, and I want you to know what they are too. I'm going to reveal those to you by the Spirit. You're going to be led. You're going to be guided, you know, by the Holy Ghost. Your footsteps are going to be ordered by me. Okay? Now, do you think God's going to say, take one step to the right? Okay, yeah. Now, I'm not telling you where we're going. We're just going to just step-by-step process here. Okay, now take one step to the left. Okay, there. Right foot. Okay, left foot. Now take a left. Take a right. No, he's going to tell you your goal, your vision of where you're going. I mean, you need that door. Dad always says this analogy, and it's a great example. That door is where we're going whenever we leave here. Okay? We see that door right over there. Whenever the service is dismissed, that's the goal. Okay? Now, we can't go straight, you know, across the chairs. Got to go around somehow or another. We're going to go around and we're going to go to that door. But the door is the vision. What does he say about vision? That if we don't have vision, we perish. So God's going to give you the vision. He's going to give you the goal. He's going to tell you what your plan is in life, what your goal is in life. Because if you don't have a goal, you perish. You just wander around. You know, where am I going? Where am I going? What am I doing? You know, don't get in the trap of not knowing what your plan is for your life, what God's will is for your life. Man, get in God's Word and find out. You know, and first step is knowing that God wants you to know. You know, sometimes we just don't know what, you know, if God wants us to know. You know? No? I don't know. But He does. He wants you to know. He wants you to know His thoughts, His ways are our thoughts and our ways. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to think His thoughts. And He wants our ways to be His ways. He will direct your paths. He will direct your way, your steps. You know, He will do that. He wants you to have His steps, His ways. So we know now God wants us to know what His will is. Okay, He tells us His will several times in here. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Even as, you know, prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. He wants you to be blessed. You know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about the blessings. He wants you to be blessed going in, going out, in the city, in the field. You know, he wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. We know that because the promises say that. Okay? Now, we know the promises say that because we've taken the time to read the Word of God. Amen? So we know, first of all, that God wants us to know His will. Second thing is that we've got to pray. We've got to talk to God. We've got to spend time with Him. You know, we need to pray and ask God to reveal things to us. You know, and I tell you what, you know, I'm speaking to believers here, but in addition to being a believer, you need the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is the comfort and He's the guide. He's the revealer. You know, it takes the Holy Ghost in your life. Many times that people, Christians, let's clarify this and qualify this. Christians, many times Christians are not being led by the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit. They don't understand. A lot of you, if you think about this, you know, everybody say, God bless all the denominations that believe that Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Yes. Really fast. Say it real fast. But, you know, some denominations don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit working in their church, working in their lives. And a lot of those denominations also have a problem with the will of God. Well, it just, you know, whatever the will of God is, you know, He wills this and He wills that. And you know, God does will a lot of things. And I was just thinking about the, you know, what a will is. Whenever you, you know, you pass away, you have a will set up. Well, the will is your plan. It's the guidelines of what you want to take place. Now, there's tons and tons of you know, money and items, houses, lands that were not claimed, even though they were willed to be done, to be claimed out by these certain relatives or friends. Tons of stuff. The government has lots of stuff that was just, you know, the government takes it over because after so long, you know, nobody claims it. Unclaimed properties, unclaimed monies, you know, refunds and checks and all this stuff. But, you know, there's wills. The will was that that person receive it. Did they come get it? No, they didn't. You know, if I take, I'll give you an example here. If I'm sitting or standing, if I'm standing in the kitchen and the boys are in their rooms, you know, doing homework or, you know, watching TV or playing a video game or coloring or drawing or reading, you know, both of them are, you know, doing a lot of different things now. Reese is really getting into reading, so he's reading a lot now. And Cole, he's a drawer. He's an artist. He draws everything. So, you know, if they're doing all those things in there, and Caden, he just happened to be here. He does his little guitar now. That's what he does. And he praises God. You know, he does this when he's praising God. You know, so he's just happy to be there. But if I'm in the kitchen fixing supper, and I call the boys, and I tell them, boys, it's time to eat. We got to go in here in a little bit. It's time to eat. Food's on the table. Come get it. Come on. Let's sit down and eat. Okay, and you know, Caden, he's climbing up in the chair. You know, he's ready to go. He's ready to eat. And Cole, you know, he'll hear me and say, okay, Dad, I'm coming. You know, and in a few minutes, Cole comes around the corner and, you know, what are we having? What are we eating? You know, Dad, boy, I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink? Where am I supposed to sit? Where do you want me to sit? Can I sit right here? Do I have to stay here to eat? Can I go on my... No, you got to stay right here and eat. You know, Reese, come on, let's eat. Just a minute, Dad. You know, start eating. Reese, come eat. Food's ready. My will is that all my boys eat. That's my will. I've helped prepare the food, you know, because I'm playing Mr. Mom. Because Sissy's in nursing school. You know, and there is no mom anymore. You know, it's Dad. Dad and Dad's mom and Mom's dad. And, you know, and Dad bays and Dad takes the boys to school and he picks them up and changes all the diapers and cooks the dinner and helps clean the house. Anybody want help? But you know, my will is that they all eat. My will is that they all eat. If Reese doesn't come out of his room and eat, it's not my fault. Okay? Honey, I tried to get them to eat. I promise. Why didn't Reese eat? I don't know. I kept calling him. He wouldn't come. No. But you know, my will is that he eats and that he has nourishment. God's will is that you be blessed. His will is that you overcome, but you've got to come to the table. Yeah. You've got to come. You've got to make an effort to press in and get there, you know, and receive. You can, and sometimes you come to the table and you don't eat. Yeah. There's so many people come to church and they just sit there and they don't receive. Yeah. They're here. Yeah, I came to the table. I just don't like what they're having. Well, I mean, come on, you know. I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I mean this is reality. We have to wake ourselves up. You know? 5 o'clock comes early in the morning. Nebraska, it's cold. really cold sometimes. Like, you know, like it was in the teens one time, and then it was, you know, like 22 or 23 another morning. That's cold stuff. You know, you wake up, you don't want to get out of bed, you know, because it's cold out there. But you got to wake yourself up. Hey, whoa, wait a second. What am I doing? Where am I going? Where's my plan? Where's my goal? Where's my vision? God wants you to know that, okay? And His will is that you have a plan, that you have a goal, that you have a vision. And so we've got to pray. We've got to ask God. We've seek His face. We've got to get the Holy Spirit working in our life to lead and guide us and direct us. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians real quick. We kicked over the sacred cow again like Dad always does. And we know that God wants us to know His will. In fact, we'll see a little more of that here in just a second. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. Start there. We're actually going to jump around in Ephesians here just a little bit. Ephesians 1. Wow, it's all good. It's great stuff. Verse 5. This is good. Amen. Predestination.
Yep.
Wow. I might get in trouble for jumping all over these topics while Dad's gone. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Who's this? God has predestined us to be His children. Well, you know, it's predestination. God's predestined certain people to do certain things, you know. It's His will that this person, you know, go on to be with Him early in life. And this person just didn't accept Him, you know. Jesus, you know, God had other plans for him. No, His predestination, which is His will, which is His plan, which is His goal, and is to have everybody accept Jesus and come and live with Him forever, be His children. That's His predestination. Now, we have a will, and we have a choice to make. You know, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to live for God? Are you going to be His child? Are you going to let Him, you know, take you under His wing and support you and be your supply and be your, you know, meet all your needs and direct your paths and your steps? It says that His having predestinated all of us, everybody, to be His children. He wants to adopt everybody as His children. By Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Of His will. All right. To the praise and the glory of the grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Jesus' blood was shed for us so we could be redeemed from the curse. For the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, understanding. I'm reading the King James. Having made known unto us the mystery. Ooh, the mystery. Well, who can understand a mystery? I love a good mystery. You like good mysteries? This is pretty good because He says He lets us know what the mystery is. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His... You know what according means? According. According to. I was just looking up the word according because over there it said according to the good pleasure of His will. Basically, according to His will. According to His will. He predestined us into adoption of children according to His will. He made known the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. According just means, what now?
Lines up.
Lines up, exactly. It lines up. It pairs up. It partners up with. It runs parallel with. He predestined us to be His children because that's what His will said. That's what His will was over here. That's what His good pleasure was so that we would be His children. Okay? According to. Okay? He wants us to be His children because that's what His will is. That's just simple stuff. But I mean, sometimes we overlook some of it. He wants us to know the mystery of His will. All right, now let's jump on down. This is Paul. He's written this letter, this epistle, not the wife of an apostle. It was a letter. He wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. And he's heard about them, the faith in the Lord Jesus. He's excited that they've accepted Jesus. And he says here in verse 16, he ceases not, where, you know, after he's heard about their faith, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not confusion, not, you know, uncertainty, But the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, not wonder about, not guess, but you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. It goes on, great stuff, good stuff, everybody say good stuff. But He wants us to know. Everybody say, He wants me to know. That's right, He wants me to know. All right? And He's praying that you would know. Paul's praying that this church would know. And you know, Mom and Dad have mentioned this before, and Brother Osteen, John Osteen, told us to do this too. Lakewood, personalize this and say that, my God, the God of our Lord, of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, my Father of glory, may give unto me the Spirit of wisdom. Get rid of this fire. Will give unto me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, that my eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what the hope is of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in me, the saints, in me, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward me who believes. All right? According to the working of His mighty power, and goes on. But personalize that. And then pray this over your family. Pray this over your wife or your husband and your kids and your mom and dad. You've got to pray to know what God's will is. You've got to spend time in the Word of God. Amen? Let's jump over to... let's see here. It's all good stuff. I tell you what, let's go to... Let's just go ahead and turn to Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. We'll go there. Actually, Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. We can't get to all of it. There's not enough time. Chapter 1, Colossians, verse 9. Because we can't back up, we'll just take too much time doing all that. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Again, Paul is praying for the church, the people, the church of, Colossae, how do I say it again? The Colossians, yeah, that's who it is. Colossae, whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway, those people over there. To pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge. Should be filled with the knowledge. Not a little bit, but be filled to the top. I'm thinking, you know, like when you fill something up, you filled it up, right? Okay. To be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's good stuff. He's praying that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We got to pray. We've got to find out what it is. Amen? All right. Let's see. Maybe one more? Let's see here. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and just jump on to the next one. Next point. First, we know that God wants us to know His will. Second, we got to pray. We've got to ask for revelation. We've got to get the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the course of that, let's look at one more thing here. This will jump us into the next one. Go to Acts 16. Ben and I looked this one up today because we were both trying to figure out which one. Was it Asia? Was it who was that? What's going on? But anyway, Acts 16, Paul and Silas. Got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to listen. I told Reese this morning, I said, Reese, go out to the car or to the Explorer and get the Cole needs a jacket. Get his jacket out of there. He left it in there, you know, yesterday evening, I guess. So go get his jacket out of the car. Well, Reese has got this sweatshirt on. It's a Gap sweatshirt, hoodie. And Cole has one just like it. Well, obviously, that's what Cole had on the day before, too, with a T-shirt underneath. And he took it all off and left it in his seat in the car. So I said, go out to the car and get his jacket. Well, Reese runs out to the car, and he comes back with his hoodie. I said, Reese, what did I tell you to do? He said, go out there and get Cole's jacket. Well, what do you got? That's not his jacket. His jacket's in the car. I said, I don't know. You know, he heard, Reese, go outside and get the jacket. But he had this preconceived idea of what he was really supposed to be getting. He didn't listen. He heard, but he didn't listen. You know, which is, you know, we're working on that with Reese. He's a sharp kid, but sometimes he just doesn't listen. You know, he thinks he knows what you're asking already, and so he just takes off and goes and does it, you know. But, you know, he takes off and he comes does that. But I think that just kind of clicked with me today. Sometimes we hear God saying, go over here and do this. And we have this idea, oh man, isn't this going to be great? I'm going to get to do this and this and this. You have this preconceived idea, or you have this picture in your mind of you doing this work for God. And it's not exactly what God told you to do. And you jump into this thing, you know, you jump into this thing thinking, oh yeah, this is my chance. This is it. You know, I'm going to do it for God. And this is what I'm going to do. And you didn't hear all the instructions. You heard them, but you weren't really listening because you got this idea of what you want to do. You know, and then now we're back to us making it work. You know, and it's not God because we didn't follow His plan, His instructions. And then you get over there and you're like, what's going on? You know, I got it here and I did what you told me to do. And God's going, no, you didn't. No. What did I tell you to do? Well, you said to go over here. Oh, you said to, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what you told me to do, isn't it? Well, I just thought it, you know, was my chance, my opportunity to do this, you know. But now, we do have to do something. We have to be available. We have to be working, and your steps are ordered, and your steps are, you know, the path is set before you because you're walking. You can't have steps ordered if you're not stepping. So, you know, God gives you some direction. You start moving. And as you move, God's going to keep revealing more to you. Hey, this is where you're going. This is where you're going. And you can't worry about, you know, how to get from A to B. You just know that B is where you're going. A is where you start. And God's going to prepare the way. He's going to make the way and provide for you. So anyway, this is an example here of Paul and Silas. They're available. They're being available. And it says here in verse 6 of chapter 16 in Acts, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Whoa, wait a second. Well, God had a plan. He was trying to get them to go somewhere. Well, you know, they weren't real clear on where it was. So, hey, we're going to go try to preach somewhere. We know God wants us to preach the word of God. So they start going somewhere. And the Holy Ghost, you know, says, hey, what was that? That's not where we want you to go here. And here's an example of kind of some checks and balances here. You know, you don't have God saying, this is where I want you to go. But hey, they're trying to do something, but they're being sensitive to the voice of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you watch this. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into the, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they said, well, we're doing it anyway. No, they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They listened, okay? And so they, passing by this town of, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Well, hey, that's all they needed. They'd already been trying to preach the word of God, and they kept getting, you know, stopped. That's not it. No, that's not it. We're going to keep going until we find it. You know, we're going to keep pressing in here until we find, well, you know, what God wants us to do here. And then there's the vision comes, and boy, they pack their bags and they take off. You know, then and after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. All right, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. These guys, they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So you've got to be available. You know, you can't just say, I laugh because I have heard this so many times and I've seen this happen so many times. You know, this guy's looking for a job. And I tell you what, there's nobody hiring. I just can't get a job anywhere. But if you called anybody, no, nobody's hiring. You put any applications in, what good is it going to do? Nobody's hiring right now. I tell you what, you know, I sit here all day, don't even get a phone call. Nobody will call me back, you know, about the phone. Have you called anybody? Well, no, I've just, you know, this is just the jobs aren't out there, you know. You know, Dad always said, if you don't have a job, make a job out of finding a job. And that's your job. If you work 8 hours a day plus, if you have to do a little overtime, make a job out of finding a job. He always told, I mean, when I was growing up, that's, he always said that. Son, if you don't have a job, you make find out, you make a job out of finding a job. You know, make money, provide, you know, do, you got to make a job out of finding a job. And so, you know, we can't just sit around saying, well, you know, I'm just waiting on God to reveal His plan, great master plan for me, my life, you know. The years will rock along and you'll be sitting there, you know, 20 years later thinking the same thing. I wish God would just show me what to do. Man, hey, jump out there and do something. You know, clean the bathrooms, help Fred out, clean the church. You know, until you get out and start doing stuff, you won't hear that voice saying, hey, that's not really what I want you to do, you know. You know, hey, you know, you like doing this, don't you? This is pretty good, don't you? This is kind of what I was wanting you to do. You know, I just wanted you to get in here and start doing it and try it, you know. And so you've got to be available. You've got to go out and you've got to do stuff. You've got to try. And, you know, again, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. God wants you to, He wants you to be happy. He wants you to, He wants to give you the desires of your heart. In fact, I tell you what, let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs. And we'll try to wrap this up pretty quick. I told you this could be a real short, a real long one. So I'm trying to cut this off in a couple minutes. Let's turn to, actually, I'll tell you what, yeah, Proverbs, let's do it. I have to skip all that other stuff. It's not going to work. Not enough time. Everybody say, the Word of God is good stuff to me. You know, the last, it all comes back to this. You really have to look in the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God. And I had several examples I wanted to use tonight, too. We're just not going to be able to get to all of them. But, you know, if I were to turn off all these lights and I had a flashlight and I was shining this light in front of me, wherever I can see is where I'm going to go. And the Word of God is just that. It is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. All right? And if it talks about the wicked man, and what he does is he gets away. It says he wanders into the darkness and he knows not what he stumbles on because he has no light. And so the Word of God is your light. It's your map. It's your mirror. It's your, you know, your guide. It's your menu. Dad talks about all those things. But it is your light. It's a flashlight. And until you get in here and find out what the promises are, you're not going to get direction. You're not going to get guidance. And so it's just like this. It's just like you're holding this out there like a flashlight. And you read this promise and say, you know what? I can have that promise. God wants me. That's what God wants for my life, and that's where I'm going. You know, and you go to that spot, and you shine the light over there. Oh yeah, you know what? God says I can have. And so then you go over there, you know. And so I can't impress upon you more, you know, or enough. I can't impress upon you enough the importance of reading the Word of God and studying out what God's will is, because this is His will. You know, He's given us His will right here in the pages of this book. And so anyway, you know, talking about that in Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart into understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her like silver or silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures. That's pretty tough. That's some endurance right there. You're going after like hidden treasures. Perseverance right there. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, if you'll get in this word right here, I tell you what, let's go to one more. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Just go over there. Yeah. Let's just start. We can't go all of it because we're going to close out here. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean to your own understanding in all thy ways. And say, everybody say, all thy ways. Acknowledge Him, He will direct thy paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Shall be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. And I'll read chapter 4. We mentioned this one, 18. But the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. You know, if you will get in God's Word and you will pray for wisdom and direction on the will of God in your life, it will be a path that shines more and more to that perfect day. You're just like whenever you see something afar off and you say, that's my goal, the more you walk towards that goal, the clearer it becomes what you're after, what you're going for. The vision in your life, if you find the vision that God has for your life, it'll shine more and more into that perfect day. It'll become brighter and brighter to you. It'll become more clear to you what God has for you in store, what He wants for your life, and what your plan is for you, what the plan is for your life, what the ministry is that, you know, that He's put you into. Get in His Word. Find out what that is. You know, again, know that God wants you to know His will. Pray. Ask for revelation. Seek, you know, the revelation of what God's plan is and His will for your life. Be available and learn from the Word of God. Help. Get involved. Do something. Be sensitive to the Spirit. The fourth point, listen. Listen to the Spirit of God. You know, listen to His Word. Listen to what He's saying to you, because He will speak to you. He will tell you what His will is, but you've got to listen to it. And you'll recognize His voice better the more time you spend with Him. The more time, you know, somebody calls you a lot of times, when as soon as they pick up the phone and say hello, you know exactly who it is. You know, the voice of God will be like that to you if you'll spend more time listening to Him. Amen.